Our Lord, our Savior, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the power in the blood. By the blood of the Lamb, we are all washed, we are all purged, we are all saved, and we are all healed, and we are all delivered from the darkness. Lord, we bless your holy name. For your name's sake, to live is Christ, to die is gain. For your name's sake, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For your name's sake, we will do all things, the deep things of God, through Christ, who will strengthen us and who will guide us. Because, O Lord, we are all created for you in you, Lord. And we all have your name, the banner of your love upon us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the grace. Thank you, Lord, that you waited for us. And thank you, Lord, you decided to give us time, your grace, for us to change, for us to repent, for us to be perfected, for us to be the creation of whom you want to be, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the brethren. Thank you, Lord, that you brought all of us here. And Lord, we bless all the overseas brethren joining us from wherever they are. But Lord, right now we are all one in spirit. We are one body of Christ, O Lord. And Lord, we also remember those who are joining us from online, locally in Singapore. Brother Eddie, O Lord, may you bless him. Whatever the healing that he needs for his thigh, the stitches, Lord, he is our precious brother who danced like David in the church, O Lord. We don't want any sickness to stop our brother from praising you, worshipping you with all he has got. So Lord, may you heal him and may you bring him back as we want to rejoice with him in praising you. And Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessed appointed time where you will speak to us and we will listen to you. And you will mold us and we will obey to you. And you will chasten us and we will say praise the Lord. And Lord, we are here to be perfected. Oh Lord, we are here to humble ourselves. We are here to obey. And we are here to show that we desire to be yours, O Lord. So Lord, may you take complete control of all of us. And I surrender myself, my brethren, our thoughts, our intentions, the words we spoke, the words we think. O Lord, may you take complete control. We surrender everything to thy Holy Spirit. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit bear witness with our spirit. We thank you for everything and we bless your holy name for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, dear brethren. And God bless you all richly in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank the Lord for the sermons. Last 4 weeks I was blessed. Thank the Lord for Brother Paul, Brother Tui, for all the wonderful words of life. We are all edified, encouraged by the Lord through his children. That's how the Lord wants to work in our lives. Amen. Last night I was praying. The direction that the Lord needs to bless me with to start my learning journey to meditate on the word of the Lord, concerning what needs to be served from the pulpit by God's grace. As we are all learning, we are like seeds growing from plant, smaller plant, bigger plant, tree. The Lord, only the Lord knows the growth. All we can say is, Lord, I am not worthy, I am weak, I am nothing. All I desire is my root is in you, my root is in your word. Whatever is above the ground, blessed be the name of the Lord. Even if there is nothing, no flower, no fruit, the Lord knows. We are here to surrender and the Lord will teach us. Obedience, humility and sincerity is the only way we can receive the growth from the Lord. So I was praying for the Lord to find out my own shortcomings, my weaknesses, for me to surrender myself to the Lord. And I was blessed when the Lord instilled a thought in my heart. Speak about my wrath. I was a bit shocked for a while. Why should I speak about the wrath of God? Because everybody is keen on the grace of God, mercy of God, love of God, the light of God. Everything that sounds beautiful, pleasing, soothing, encouraging, edifying. But can the wrath of God encourage us? Can the wrath of God edify us? Can the wrath of God teach us to grow in the right way? Or
are we misunderstanding the wrath of God for punishment or something that is we don't want to touch, we don't want to know? So in this, I would say hunger, thirst, I was meditating on the word of the Lord to ask the Lord to teach me what is there for us to learn from the wrath of yours. How the Lord see His wrath, how the Lord reveal His wrath. Do not forget, the word of the Lord says, the wrath of God revealed from heaven, not by man, revealed from heaven. It's the word of the Lord. So, even the wrath of God has to be revealed by God from heaven. Because there is another thing called wrath of man, wrath of the world, wrath of all things that are not God's. But the wrath of God is not something like anger, punishment, destruction or something. It is the other side of God where God needs to keep who He is. As Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29 says, God is a consuming fire. He remains who He is. But we are called by the Lord to be the lively stones who have life. Amen? So you just see, life, death, love, wrath. Correct? Life, God has given us salvation, the name of the Lord. We were born in sin, but the Lord told us, "No, you are coming with me." And He turned all our lives to embrace Him. But on the other side, I was praying, when Moses turned back, the Lord just showed him a simple flame from a burning bush. But when the wife of Lot turned back, there was also a big flame. But this time, this flame is nothing but the fire devoured the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it went forth from the presence of the Lord. Amen? So, there is one fire, and one woman turned, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And there is another fire, but it's a flame, but it brought life. Because Moses turned, and the Lord turned Moses into a testimony of him. But she turned the wife of Lot into a testimony of pillar of salt. And she did not turn. She did not do what the Lord asked her to do. This is a very simple parallel events of fire, flame, two people who turned to see what is this great light. But the intention was wrong. The purpose was different. So then I started the learning journey with the Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I will read from verse 1. As the bride getting ready in the last church age, the time that we are all in, it's extremely critical. As you could see, we just had a pandemic. Now the nations are fighting each other and things are going. Even the denominational churches, they are so shameful to announce same-sex marriages blessed in so-called church, and we do not know what church it is. So the Lord expects all of us to be prepared, not just for our own sake, but to do His work, but to be the light bearers, to shine His light. And why? Let's read from verse 1. Brother Clement, can you read from verse 1 all the way to verse 14?
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and acknowledge you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all.
Amen. Verse 9 says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Whenever something happens in the world that gets the attention of people, the first thing that comes to their mind is excitement. What's going on? Where it is mentioned in the Bible? What is there for me to learn? Or how we can decode this, decode that? But this was written thousands of years ago. So can we say that the level of sincerity that apostles are expecting is increasing day by day, or it's the same? He is the same yesterday and today and forever. The work that saints of God, children of God, servants of God, the priesthood, the royal nation, the holy priesthood, the Lord is gathering, the Lord is expecting all of them just to abide in his word. It's beyond time. The present established truth, the Lord has revealed everything to us. Throughout the seven church ages, he unfolded his mystery layer by layer as it is needed, very similar to how the Lord blessed the people of Israel in the wilderness with manna and led them by pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. He knows what needs to be fed, at what time, by whom and when. And he sent the seven messengers in his own time to do the work of the Lord. At the same time, do not forget, by the very same doctrines, apostolic foundations, there was a group of people who were also being confounded. The Lord revealed himself to his children, but that revelation also creates chaos on the other side. The Lord shows his love to his children, but the same love also shows wrath to everything that doesn't belong to him. The Red Sea was opened not to kill the people who were trying to kill his people, but to save his people. But in the process of saving his people, he had to do certain things. And he remains as the God who is a consuming fire, and he also shows light to those who are called and who are chosen for his name's sake. So 1 Thessalonians says, we are not appointed for God's wrath. Amen. We believe that in Jesus' name. We can say why we are talking about the wrath of God. If we are always under the banner of his love, we have the life, we have the word, we walk by faith, not by sight. But in the word of the Lord, the wrath of God is beautifully explained from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. If you look at the way the book of Romans explains how God deals things, what we learn here is God also gave the cup of the wine of his wrath to his very own children to let them taste how it is, for him to teach them a lesson, to chasten them and to bring them back where they belong. But for everything else, that wine press, you all remember, when our Lord comes, he treadeth the wine press of the fierce wrath of God when he comes. But the Bible says that wrath is reserved for unrighteousness. Amen? It is reserved. The Lord stored that wrath for the unrighteousness to destroy everything, because the earth has to be regenerated. For that, the Lord needs to burn everything, destroy everything to make things to new. So as children of God, the Lord is guiding us and leading us in our walk, in our journey. But we have to understand and ask the Lord to teach us to grow in our faith concerning how the word of the Lord unfolds the word wrath. Because there are different types. There are different types. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, when there was a question asked back, why thou hast forsaken me, there was no answer. Amen? Because Jesus has to be descended unto Sheol to be resurrected back to where he belongs, glorified Jesus Christ. But for God, as we all can see, that was wrath of men, wrath of people who were against their Savior, who were against the Prince of Peace, who wanted a murderer to be granted, but they forsake the Prince of Life and they wanted him to be killed. Crucify him. They had so much rage, so much wrath against him. Wrath of this world, wrath of enemy, wrath of men. But all these things, Isaiah 7:7 says, nothing shall stand against God's perfect will. And nothing will come to pass other than the spirit of prophecy, what the Lord speak. But the Lord also has spoken certain things concerning his wrath of God. And as a child of God who bear the witness of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, as we learned on Friday. Which means we need to be aware, we need to have the desire for the Lord to teach us what he spoke concerning his wrath. Not what the people speak, not what the world did, but what the Almighty spoke about his own wrath. So that we listen and we understand from our Master. Because if it was not meant to be understood, then why the Lord is speaking concerning his wrath throughout the Bible? Because he wants us to understand. Understanding is the truth. Where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Amen. So let's turn your Bible to John chapter 3 verse 36. John chapter 3 verse 36. John chapter 3 verse 36. Jesus Christ is glorified by the testimony of John. Amen. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We sing this song, he abides, and life abides in life. The word of God abides in the part of the word, you and me, all of us, the children of God. He called us to abide in his word, like how the branches of grape vine abide each other. But here the word says, if we do not believe in the Son, we cannot see life. And since we cannot believe, we cannot see life, the wrath of God will abide with us. Abide. So I was meditating on this word. How come the something that is God's can abide with something God himself say, you are not mine, or this is not mine? So the wrath of God is there. Those who believe him, in the Bible, believe, as we learned from the Lord, doing his works with willingness and desire to receive the word from the voice of the Lord. That is what believe for us. Because Jesus said, if you believe me, then you will do the works of me. If you believe me, then you will follow me with the desire to deny yourself and to examine yourself and to surrender yourself. And you will be able to carry your cross, because it is not you, I will give you the strength. The Lord has spoken to us. So he abides in his children, the word of God, the lively stones. But if we believe not, the two words that I am very focusing is, believe not is see not. Because the Bible says, if we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we cannot see life. Amen. Remember the veil that is hiding the eyes of many of those in this world who are still waiting for the Lord to reveal himself. It's a veil. You cannot see. You can't see life. Saul cannot see life. Although he witnessed the death of Stephen, Stephen could not tear down the veil. Jesus Christ met him on the road and he himself opened his eye by making him blind. So believeth not in the Son, see not the life. And because these two results in the third stage, which is wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth. So who will deliver us from the wrath of God? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the book of Revelation says, the blood of Jesus, our Lord and Master, he delivered us from the wrath of God and he called all of us to his salvation. Amen. But the book of Revelation says it is also called the wrath of Lamb. When everything is destroyed in the brimstone fire, the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, in the wrath of the Lamb, everything is destroyed. So in the presence of the Lord Spirit, there is liberty. Amen. So the wrath of God also performing something concerning to that liberty, because those burning process, the Bible says, it will be done in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. When God burned down Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was liberated from that city. But everything else that are not God's was burned down. It's just a simple prefiguration of what we read in the book of Revelation. But here, John the Baptist testifies, if you do not believe in the Son, you won't see life. If you won't see life, wrath of God abideth on him. Now let's see what we read in John 15:6. Before we go to the next book, John chapter 15 verse 6. Now Jesus himself speaks. John the Baptist, John testifies something, and now Jesus speaks. In verse 6 he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt. So in John chapter 3 verse 36, wrath of God abideth on him who do not see life, who do not believe in Christ. And now Jesus says, yes, if you do not abide in me, he explains the wrath of God in a bit more expanded way, saying that cast down into the fire and men will gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt. And this is what we read in the book of Revelation, in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of the holy angels. So now John 15:6, Jesus says about abide and abide not, what is the consequence? How the Lord reminds us in the book of James, wrath of man worketh not for righteousness of God. Amen. Remember that verse? Wrath of man worketh not to the righteousness of God. Now let's turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. I will read from verse 1 up to 7. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. As we become saints, he says, let it not be once named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why the word partakers comes in? In the Holy Communion, we partake the bread of life, the new blood, and we share. But the Lord says, do not partake in something that they are going to drink. The very first miracle of our Lord and Savior in the marriage, He turned water into wine. Amen? When He comes in the white horse, the Bible says He treadeth the winepress of the wrath of God. He also brings a wine. And the Bible says that wine will be given to all the nations that disobey God, and He will make them to drink. Remember when Moses burnt the golden calf into powder and he mixed it with water and he asked the people to drink it. So God says, you are called to partake in me, called to partake in my feast, in my word, but do not partake anything that are not mine. Because that is reserved for His wrath. So, lack of understanding. The Bible says, in the last days, people will be destroyed for the lack of knowledge and wisdom. The understanding. And what is that? To understand, to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing Him is the understanding that we will grow in our faith. The more we know Him, the more He will make us to grow. So now, Jesus Christ, He also expressed His anger twice that are very, I would say, a big lesson for me personally. Apart from His words on showing grace and mercy, love, but on two occasions He showed His anger. Very similar one. When He saw people buy and sell in front of the temple, He went and drove them away. And also when there was a man who had some sickness in his hand, cannot stretch out his hand, but it was a Sabbath day, so the Pharisees, Sadducees were just next to Him, waiting for Him to do something to heal him, so that they can accuse Him or say something against Him. The Bible says Jesus was very angry, but He grieved in His heart concerning the hardness of their heart. But He simply looked at the man who was sick and He told him, stretch out your hand, and his hand was restored as whole. Now keep this healing process and remember the another one. Those four people who carried the sick on the bed, Jesus saw their faith, He was pleased, and He told the man, your sins are forgiven. Amen? Now you see on the other side, quite similar, there is another man who is sick, but this time he was not carried by those four faithful servants, but rather he was persecuted, criticized, insulted by some Pharisees, Sadducees, but on both sides, healing took place. On both sides, the sickness was gone. The one who was suffering received the healing. But Jesus spoke two different words. On one side, He said He saw their faith, He healed that man. On this side, He saw the unbelief of those Pharisees, Sadducees. He was angry. Then He grieved in His heart concerning their heart. But still He said, stretch out your hand. And He was restored as whole, as the Bible says. Now Jesus is in the middle, like a double-edged sword. He brings forth life as He wants. But at the same time, the judgment of the Lord always reflects the righteousness of God. It won't bend, it won't alter, it won't change. He is who He is. He remains as who He is. That's why we call Him the Almighty. But the Lord says, I wait because I'm gracious. That waiting period is the lifeline that we all receive, the grace. Remember your past, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, depends on your age. When you are a sinner, when you do not know Christ, you are doing all crazy things in the world. You have no desire for the Lord. If the Lord decided to come on that day, where we would be? If the Lord decided to give some time for all of us in His own grace and mercy, for us to find the true life, which is revealed by Himself in the appointed time. And now we are all sitting here praising Him, worshipping Him, and say, praise the Lord. But if we roll down our life to the past, and now, the Lord waited for us to grow. The Lord waited for us to repent. The Lord waited for us to see. The Lord waited for us to receive His love. He waited because He's gracious. But that grace is not forever. What was received because of the grace, we will hold on to forever. But grace will come to an end when He comes to the iron rod to judge the nations. That time, people cannot say, Lord, You are gracious. He would say, yes, I am. My grace has been given to all. It is sufficient. But now, I came to judge. And that judgment is always linked to what we read in Hebrews 12:29. God is a consuming fire. The wrath of God is reserved for unrighteousness. The Lord says, do not go and feel the heat of it. But sometimes, if you look very deeply, He Himself threw His children to the wrath of God to experience how it is to be forged by fire. Every time we are in valley, we will feel that, you know, we are perplexed, we suffer, something is happening, not pleasant, not comfortable. But the Lord again brings us back. It's like you are baking a bread, you put it inside an oven, heat it, take it out, you are not happy, you know, it's not properly baked. Then you put it inside again until it's very good, eatable for the one who makes it. The Lord is perfecting us in various ways, by giving us a nutrition, by giving us a chastening, by teaching us, by doing everything it takes to preserve the life that He has instilled in our life. The life, the only life. It's all He wants. Amen. So now, we just read in Ephesians 5:16, it says, wrath of God is reserved for sons of disobedience, children of disobedience. The Lord says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The book of Isaiah teaches us. But here the Lord says, the wrath of God abideth on those who do not believe Him, cannot see life, and He called them as children of disobedience. Why the word disobedience comes here? Turn your Bibles to Book of Ephesians chapter 2. Book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1-4. Chapter 2, verse 1-4, I read. And you had He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. So in verse 1, the Lord says, when you are dead in trespasses and sins, you are literally under the banner of the wrath of God to be destroyed completely. But the Lord says, you were dead. It's past. It's something like a memory, like a past in your life. The old is gone. The new man is born. But verse 2, He says, He warns us, wherein the time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Chapter 5, verse 6, wrath of God abideth with the children of disobedience. But chapter 2 tells, there is a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. And He calls it as the prince of the power of the air and the course of this world, everything that are not the Lord's. Disobedience has no room in the fruit of the Holy Ghost. So the Lord says, it brings down the layer where the wrath of God abideth on those particular souls. But the Lord says, He is the only one who will decide to whom He will sheweth mercy. All of us, we receive His mercy. If not, we won't be standing here. I was thinking, when the Lord decided to save me, what was there in me for the Lord to decide to save me? Nothing. The only answer that we all could say is, we are saved because we are part of the Word. We are saved because we are part of the Savior. Like Eve was created of Adam, but Adam was sleeping. God put him in a deep sleep. When Adam woke up, God presented Eve to him. Eve, Adam, and we know we are all bride for the last Adam. Our last Adam, our Savior, He is doing everything that He has done for us, He is doing for us, to make sure that you won't lose His life. If you lose His life, you lose Him. But we have to be very careful, because verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now you see, 5:6 says, children of disobedience, wrath of God abide. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, children of disobedience, that the Spirit worketh in them. But in verse 3, the Lord merged into one, saying, children of wrath. So we call all ourselves, thank you Lord, that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are all children of God. Amen. But the Lord says there is another term. Let me introduce you to you. Children of wrath. So now let's think. We say this is wrath of God. Amen. And we say we are children of God. And now we have two terms. Children of wrath, children of God, and we have God. And God who is a consuming fire. So this is where we will ask the Lord to teach us to meditate on the word of the Lord, for us to learn from Him the word that He spoke, the words of life that He blessed us with. Concerning this, children of wrath, children of God. We are delivered from wrath, but we receive salvation through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because of that, we became children of God. But if we roll back, if we are not delivered from wrath, the Lord says, He also gave the cup of wine of wrath to His children for them to taste it, to see how fearsome He is. Like you see, Lord, to taste and see how sweet the word of the Lord. But the Lord says, truth is also bitter, because He feels different things. But He makes sure those who are called, those who are chosen according to His purpose, they will keep, remain in life. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, verse 22 to 23. Romans chapter 9, verse 22 to 23. Should be from 21 to 23. Yes. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Look at the question, a powerful question in verse 22. What if God, willing to shew His wrath and to make His power known, endued with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. Three verses. First verse talks about what the Lord do according to His purpose, according to His perfect will. And it says, potter have the power over the clay. And He makes all of us to whom He wants us to be. And verse 22 says, what if? This question, if the Lord answers it, and if we answer it, it will tell us where we stand. Because verse 22 says, what if? Think about a scenario. What if God, willing to shew His wrath, the Lord who waits because He is gracious, He is merciful, He is love. But what if God, willing to shew His wrath, because it is not about who runneth, it is not about who willeth, it's all about who sheweth mercy. And that is how our salvation is explained to us. But the question is presented, what if God, willing, not forced by anyone, no one can force God. He is love, and He looks for people to stand in the gap, for people to be filled with His Spirit, to remind Him of who He is. Like how Moses bargain with God. How Abraham bargained with God. But exactly before that bargain, the Bible says Moses was filled in the Spirit of the Lord. And now the question is presented to all beyond time. What if? Let's just ask, what if we all received the wrath of God before we accepted Him? There is no way for us to come back. What if the Lord decided, I am going to show all my wrath on you before He show His grace and mercy to us? But the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Because the Lord decided, I will wait until all my sins come back to me. Can we say, Lord, I will wait, I am a seed of you, so when you knock the door, just come and take me home. But the Lord says, just be prepared. Just be prepared. Whenever we ask for the blessings, the Lord will never place it on our hands. He will place it somewhere where we can walk and take it. Because that walk shows that we are willing, we desire, we obey, we overcome our free will, we decided to surrender, we accepted His invitation. Because the invitation of Joseph could have been rejected by Jacob. But it was the same Lord who moved Joseph to invite his father, and the same Lord who also told Jacob to follow the invitation and go to Egypt. He is all in all. So now, here, when we read this verse in 23, He calls two names, vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy. On the other side, He says, children of God and children of wrath. Children of obedience, children of disobedience. It unfolds. God always told the people of Israel, stiff-necked people, or else He did not need 40 years to teach them, to mold them, to perfect them. At the same time, He blessed Moses to write the books. He had a plan. He had a perfect plan according to His perfect will. But what surprised to all of us is, when the people of Israel witnessed those mighty miracles of God, then why they were still looking for Canaan, the promised land? They could have simply asked the Lord, Lord, wherever we stand, You can transform this entire place into a promised land which is far better than Canaan. But they did not have the faith. Moses knew it, Aaron knew it, but it's not about those two. But the people did not ask the Lord, but they were always asking for that land. Irrespective of witnessing the division of Red Sea, manna from heaven, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, they saw so much miracles. But still, they could not believe, why can't God turn this place into a promised land for me to dwell? But if they had that belief, there is no wilderness. Because they received God and they understood the presence of God is where the liberty is. But still, they thought, I was in captive. Until I reach the land, I am not delivered. They did not realize the deliverance which was presented to them in daylight by the presence of God. But rather, they wanted something physical. It's very similar when Jesus was preaching to the people. Those 5,000 were fed, of course, by the bread and fish. But the bread of life sitting on top of the mountain preaching. But still, people were looking for the bread for their flesh. But Jesus would never do anything against our free will. He just did a miracle and served the bread to all what they wanted. Like how Apostle Peter rebuked the people, Prince of Life was presented to you, but you desired for the murderer to be granted unto you. When we desire something, the Lord says, I will not do anything against your desire, because you are created in my image, in my likeness. But death entered when what happened in Garden of Eden. He says, you are dead. You have the desire to remain in death. Lord said, if you want to find life, He says, abide in me. So now, can we say, the wrath of God is reserved to destroy death, evil, world, flesh, everything that is not pleasing to His sight. Amen? And the Lord says, I want my children to please me. Not for us to say, Lord, praise you, worship you, because Lord is not rejoicing in how we praise Him, how we exalt Him. But the truth is, there is no other truth in the world other than praising Him. I challenge you all. Say something that is truth forever, other than saying, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Can you match some other sentence? You can't. Can you say, no, I know this leader of the nation, he is very intelligent, very good man. He will die in a few years' time. After that, he was. Now no more. No, I know this nation is very powerful. They will destroy all the nations. Are you sure? A single earthquake will devour them. Then after that, when the Lord says that we will overcome everything in praise and worship, because the more you see it, praising Him is speaking truth. Because there is no other truth in this world other than exalting Him. Everything else in this world will not stay when He comes. Regeneration will not have any room for the past. He will burn down everything. Even at least we remember Sodom and Gomorrah, but we won't remember everything when the Lord comes and takes us home. He will burn everything as if there was no trace. Now, 23 says, vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy. So now, look at this. I started the sermon from life and death, children of God, children of wrath. But the opposite word for love is actually hatred, correct? Hatred. But the Lord do not hate people. The Bible says the Lord do not hate anyone. But He hates things. Remember? Proverbs. He hates things. Six things, seven things, He hates things. But those things are labeled as abomination. So now you see, Lord, our Master, our Savior, our God, He hates abomination. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, spiritual wickedness from high places and the darkness. But the Lord says, I want my souls, my people to be delivered from this captive, from this stronghold. When my father said, help me, I heard the voice of my father whom I know. But when he was beating, screaming, shouting, he was completely a man whom I do not know. A stronghold which was dragging him to death. Remember, when Lucifer fell from heaven, did he just say, okay, I make this mistake, I will just fall alone? No. He tried his best to drag as much as he can of his army. He's like, if I go down, I will go down with as much as I can. That's exactly what he's doing now. He will be destroyed. He will be burned. Everything will be destroyed. But he says, I'm not just going to go in a humble way. I will hold on to my pride. I will drag as much as I can. And that dragging is the Lord says, flee from the wrath of God. Because it is reserved for unrighteousness. Now, read this. Psalm chapter 106. Brother Clement, please read this for me. From verse 34 to 48. Psalm chapter 106, verse 34 from verse 34 to 48.
They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and stained the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel, and they were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant, and relented according to the multitudes of his mercy. He also made them to be pitied, by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, and everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. What a powerful words spoken by a vessel who was filled by the Spirit of the Lord. Here, there is a verse that really struck me very hard, where we read, "The wrath of the Lord kindled against his children." Amen. The wrath of the Lord. Verse 40, "Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people," not any people. His people. When the Lord says, "You are my people," we say, "Yes, I am a child of God, children of God." Amen. But the Lord says, "Wrath of God kindled against his people, in so much that he abhorred his own inheritance." We share the inheritance, part of the word, and for that reason we say brothers and sisters, because we have the same inheritance and we share. Now, the Lord's anger kindled against his own people. Remember when the Lord was dealing with Moses, without the anger of the Lord, there is no way Moses can learn unto be perfected. The anger of the Lord kindled against Moses, but not, it does not stay for a long time. It's for a moment. Amen. It's like the Lord shows his faith, his grace, his light. Amen. When his children need his chastening, he just shows the glimpse of his wrath. As we read in the book of Isaiah, we go there. Amen. For a moment, as we record in the Bible, the Lord kindled his anger against his children for a moment. A moment, and that moment is still stays true to the word, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Amen. If he prolongs that wrath, we are gone. If he do not show the wrath, we are gone. So the wrath the Lord shows to his children is for a moment, for us not to lose life. We should bless the Lord, praise the Lord for what he is doing in all of us, but we have to understand where he is coming from, not where we come from. That is not our understanding. When we understand where we come from, and the Lord would say, "Oh, you are trying to approach from this perspective, let me tell you, your mother conceived you in sin, and all her sin falls short of the glory of the Lord. This is where you come from." You would say, "Lord, no, I don't want that." Then he would say, "Be still and know that I am God, because you try to see from where I come from." Because Jesus said, "You do not know where I come from, you do not know where I go." So the Lord says, we all bearing his name in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And now, here, the chapter, what Dr. Clement read, it starts with anger, punishment, chastening, but you see how it ends. You see how it ends. But remember, it was not given just like that. There was something that happened for the Lord to say, "I remember them." Right? Now read. I will read from 41. "And he gave them into the hand of Heathen." He gave them. Why? Remember, why? Jesus says, no one can snatch his children from the hand of God. No one. No one. There is no one who can pluck the children of God from his mighty hand. And the Father had given to Jesus. And Jesus says, still he says, there is no one can pluck God's children from his hand. The right hand of God. So, if God wants to send Israel to captivity, do you think Pharaoh will just walk straight to God? "God, can you just show me your hand? I'm going to open it and take your children." No, God says, the moment you profane my name, the moment you defile my presence, I cannot hold you because I am who I am. He says, God is holy, he cannot have any darkness in his presence. He will just open his hand. That's it. When the Spirit of the Lord releases, when we are cast down from his presence, we enter into slavery.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord, there is liberty. Amen?
Amen?
So if there is no presence of the Lord, then there is slavery. It's as simple as that.
Amen.
With the Lord, there is life. Without the Lord, there is only death. But Amen. The truth is, we have to wait for the life to find us, but the death is always waiting for you to find it.
Amen.
Because it is your original inheritance. It's always there. It's like you have two homes. One home is always reserved for you. The door is not locked. It's always open.
But the other home, it is full of life, but the key is with Him.
Amen.
He says, my life is hidden there. I will tell you the address is here. So you just keep on following the map. When I decide that you have searched enough, you have found grace and favor in my sight enough, then I will give you the key through someone,
Amen.
Through something, through some incident, and you will open the door and you will see me. But on the other side, if you tell the Lord, Lord, let me leave the house, God would not say, you must stay in my house. No, God would never say that.
Amen.
It is called the house of the Lord, not house of the brethren.
Amen.
House of the Lord. We stay in His house. When we step out, this time, that house, the previous house where we were living as dead, that address will never be destroyed until the Lord come and destroy in His wrath. That house will always call for you, shout for you, come. Your native is here. Doors are open. You are always welcome. But the Lord says, be steadfast. Do not turn to your right, turn to your left. Because no matter where your house is, whether you turn right or left, you will always find that house. Without anyone's help. Why? The Lord says, today is the day I place you a blessing and curse. You take it. He didn't say, someone will come and influence you. You need someone's help. My brethren, to find death, we can do it alone. We have that power. But to find life, we can't do it alone. The Lord says, I need two or more. Because He needs that spirit, the unity of the spirit, to glorify His name.
Amen.
If I bear my own record, my testimony is not true, spoken by our life. Now we read this. Verse 43. Many times did He deliver them. Not once, not twice, not thrice. Many times did He deliver them. But they provoked Him with their counsel, and they were brought low for their iniquity. Brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. Verse 44 is where there is a line drawn, but that line was not drawn by the Lord. The Lord wants the people to cross that line. He will not drag us. You see, when the Red Sea divided into two, the Lord wanted the people to cross the dry land. He could have simply made them disappear and make them appear on the other side. But He didn't. He won't do it. But now He says, I delivered them many times, but they were always finding their own way back. But this time He says, nevertheless, it's fine. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. So there was a cry. There was a shout. That shout reminded the Lord of His graciousness, of His love, of His mercy. Something reminded Him. When His people cried with a voice, that voice triggered the Creator to remember the creation. What is that cry? What is that cry? When Jesus says, salvation is given to you, but not without repentance. Amen?
Amen?
Not without repentance. Revival is given to you, but not without repentance.
Amen.
We can rejoice, but not without repentance. But that repentance, the Lord says, do it yourself. Because
Amen.
He can't give it to us.
Yes.
I was blessed when I remember with the Pharisees, Sadducees, when they saw Jesus was speaking to them, He asked them a question. You think I'm going to heal this man on Sabbath day or rest day to give him life? So you're going to question me. The word of the Lord says, they held their peace. How come the Pharisees, Sadducees can hold their peace? It is written clearly there. Their peace, not the peace of God.
Amen.
So can we say there is another peace? A peace which is a result of having absolutely no remorse, no repentance, no realization. You will also have a peace. And that peace is, you are never wrong, you can never be wrong, and you will never be wrong. It's also a peace. But that peace, God says, it is reserved for my wrath. Looks like peace. Looks like life. But not. So now here, the Lord says, I heard their cry so that He remembered them for His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. The very last sermon before I left Singapore, it was on the Ark of the Covenant. But actually, the whole sermon was all about the Ark of the Testimony. And that testimony is living in you, in me, in all of us. That is the only sign to say, Lord, I am alive in you. I am going through a perfection until I reach a state whereby it is Christ in me, I can't see myself. And that is the perfection. But the Lord says, if you are filled with my spirit, you will be my testimony, because he will give us the portion of his faith, part of his word. So, Moses, a great leader, Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle, but this unknown man Stephen, he did something which raised the eyebrows of many. And he did something to me personally as a child of God that is the biggest miracle that surpasses everything that I learned from Old Testament. Because Stephen held to the testimony of Jesus. Stephen had no support of flesh. He was full of spirit, full of faith, and he pleaded for the forgiveness of those who were killing him. And he was able to kneel down without a stone that can support him. Moses could not keep his arms raised. He needed two people on the right and the left for him to have the support. God was teaching a lesson to Moses. You can't do it alone. I told you before, through your father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro told Moses, what you are going to do is too heavy. You can't do it alone. But the Lord says, my yoke is not heavy. My burden is light. But what the Lord says, if we do anything, everything alone, it is not the yoke of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord. Moses walked with God alone for 40 days of fasting, praying. But when the Lord wanted Moses to do something for him and his people, God told Moses, take Aaron, take her with you, go to the mountain, they will support you. Without them, there is no victory. Without you, there is no victory. And without Joshua, there is no victory. And if there is no Amalekite, there is not even a war. Then what do you talk about victory? Everything worked together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. If there are no enemies, then there is no vindication. If there is no battle, then there is no peace. But that peace only he can provide. He is called the Prince of Peace, not you and me. But the wrath of God has a very important role to play before we enter the rest. We cannot be ignorant of this. Because the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of truth. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know there is only one prophecy? The word of the Lord.
Amen.
Everything else will not come to pass. Whatever come to pass will not stand.
Amen.
What is prophecy? Words that stand beyond time, spoken by the
Amen.
Eternal, the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself. Correct?
Amen.
But the Lord says there were false prophets in the world. They were doing miracles, wonderful things, mighty things. But where are those things today? What happened to all the things that were performed by all the false prophets throughout the last 6-7 church ages? I can't see. You can't see. But the word of the Lord stands true. The foundation of God is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. No one can touch it. No one can shake it. So now, we will read one verse before we close the sermon and we continue next week. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12. 17 to 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible. What if God willing to shew his wrath? Remember, what if it be possible. And what is this if it be possible? How do you know? How do I know that whether this thing is possible and what thing it is? The answer is always there because the word of the Lord is spirit of truth. And we continue, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Give place unto wrath. The Lord told all of us to hold on to love, grace and mercy and peace. But the Lord says, give place unto wrath. What does it mean? Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. There is only one thing that we can feed, the bread of life, the new blood, nothing else. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So now, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. All things are possible with God. Amen?
Amen.
Everything will work together for good for those who love God according to His purpose. All things work together for good. But the Bible says all things means deep things of God. Correct?
Amen.
Because God cannot make anything to work against our salvation. He can't do evil things in our lives. So the wrath of God is reserved for everything else. Whether life is working.
Amen.
But for the life, He needs a sacrifice. He needs atonement. He has to do everything for the word to manifest in the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
But for everything else, it's all done. It's settled. The Lord says it's all about where we walk into. To the promised land or to the land of disobedience.
Amen.
Remember when Moses stood in the gap for the people of Israel, the Bible says Moses turned the wrath of God away from the people of Israel. Read this verse. Psalm chapter 106, 23-25. Psalm chapter 106, 23-25. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, not anyone. The Lord will never receive the testimony of man. His chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Lest he should destroy them. Remember what God told Moses? Moses, leave me alone. He was telling Moses, can you just take your hands off me? Leave me alone. Let me go and burn them in my wrath, in my fierce anger. But Moses said, no, I know your wrath. I know who you are. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you alone. I will hold you. I will not leave you to the extent that you won't do anything against my will. Because I am filled with thy spirit and I remind you who you are as a chosen vessel. The Lord says, this chosen vessel, he turned away my wrath from my people. How come someone can stand against God's will? If not, that someone is in the spirit of the God himself. You understand? Lack of understanding, true understanding, will always result in life. If Moses was not aware of the wrath of the Lord, he would be thinking, good, I went there, cleaned the camp, 3,000 done, the Lord will be pleased, everything is fine. No. Even after he did all of this, he still went and told the Lord, blot my name out of your book. And the Lord says, you are playing the game by the book. And the Lord says, my wrath turned away because of you, because my word is in you. Because God's wrath cannot bypass his word. Why? Everything, anything can be perished. But the word of the Lord stands true forever. The wrath of God cannot bypass his word. When the part of the word stands in the breach. So may the Lord guide us as we continue next week. The word of the Lord will speak to us as we will learn and continue to grow in Him. Praise the Lord. Let's rise and pray and close the sermon. Lord, our God, for God is love. You have purposed all the goodness, righteousness, and we are all standing here, O Lord, as a testimony of Thy grace, Thy mercy, Thy love. And Lord, we thank You that You decided to embrace us in Your house. And Lord, may You bless us to glorify Your name in Your house, to honor Thy presence in Your house, to show our sincerity and our reverence, because You have revealed Yourself to us, O Lord. We are not worthy to receive You, but Lord, You have showed us who we are. We are the part of the word and we are yours, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the greatness, all the wonderful miracles that you are doing in our life. You who live in an unapproachable light, yet you showed your light to all of us, O Lord. May you bless us to walk continuously in the faith, to hold on to each other, to pray for one another, to embrace love, to embrace grace and mercy, and to understand thy wrath. And we bless thy holy name, for you are a God who is consuming fire, who is love, who is the light, the Almighty. God, we bless you for who you are, and we thank you for everything that you are doing in our life. Lord, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we only want the deep things of God, all things of God, only the things of God, to work together for good in our life. Everything else that are not the Lord's, those are things that are reserved for wrath, things that are not the Lord's love. Oh Lord, may you help us to circumcise from those branches that we may remain as part of the grapevine, the branches of the vine, to be rooted in thy word. We bless your holy name. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.